Morning all. Is that better? So welcome to those who are viewing this online. Nice to have you along. And welcome to those that are here today. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Rick Jelfs. My wife Ednita is here. And we together run our own building company from the Croydon area. Yoshi was talking about the effects of COVID on our church, and it was driven home to me just recently. The guy, Luke his name is, who does our wall and floor tiling for many years, contracted COVID himself. Then his daughter contracted COVID. Then his wife. He has five children. All five of them contracted COVID. So he wasn't able to come to our jobs and do the tiling. It delayed our jobs and caused a lot of trouble. Then he got better. He came and did some tiling on one house and then some tiling on another house. And then he texted me. No, I spoke to him about last Tuesday or Wednesday, and he said his auntie in her 70s has contracted COVID and she's very sick and he couldn't come to work. He's gone to visit her and be with her in hospital. I can't be right beside her, but be there. And then so just yesterday morning he texted to say that he can't come in on Friday because his auntie passed away. And I was really sad about that, you know. It's having an effect on all of us. My wife and I both contracted COVID about 3 weeks ago. She was very sick for a week. I was sick for a couple of days. We're clear now. We're both double vaxxed, but we still caught it. And that's just one of those things. It seems to be that being vaxxed isn't a magic bullet. You can still get it. So today, my sermon is entitled Eternity. Some may remember the popular song, Turn, Turn, Turn. Let me just see if I can do this up there. By the Byrds. It was written by Pete Seeger in the late 1950s, and all of the lyrics, except for the title, which is repeated throughout the song and the final two lines, comprise the first eight verses of the third chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes that Nadia just read. And this song became an international hit in 1965 when it was adapted by the American folk rock group The Byrds. The single entered the US chart at number 80 on October 23, 1965, before reaching number one just 5 weeks later. Now, the song is notable because it's one of the few instances where the entire song is virtually word for word from the Bible. He just added a couple of lines in the beginning and a couple at the end, and it takes its place amongst a handful of others. One is Boney M's Rivers of Babylon, Sister Janet Mead, Catholic nun, The Lord's Prayer, Sinead O'Connor's Psalm 33. These songs were all virtually word for word from the Bible and went to the top of the hit parade. And Cliff Richard's The Millennium Prayer. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. I'm not going to focus on that part. I'm going to focus on the last couple of verses, verses 9 through 11. And it says there, He has made everything beautiful in its time. Now, I need something to hold this. You got a little book or something? Or what have you got? Oh, excellent. Perfect. Thank you. That'll work. Yes. It says, What gain has the worker from his toil? I have seen the business that God has given to the children of men to be busy with. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. Now, there's got to be a contradiction here. It doesn't sound quite right to me. The phrase comes after the author outlines that there is a time for everything, time for this, time for that, time. But let's be honest, not everything in the book of Ecclesiastes narrative is beautiful. Amongst the planting, healing, laughing and dancing, there is dying, killing, weeping and hating. Doesn't sound like the Bible, does it? So let's break this phrase into two and see if we can make a little more sense out of it. The first part says, he has made everything. In John 1 verse 3, I read, through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Look around. We see the beautiful world that we live in. Everything in nature, the animals, the plants, the rivers, the streams, the oceans, all made by him. It didn't just happen. It was made by him. And God has created all, and he is in control of all. He is behind the way things are and the way that things are going to turn out. Solomon, the author of the book of Ecclesiastes, who wrote those beautiful verses, wants us to know that God is in total control. Total control. Hard to imagine when we see the bad things that happen. And the second part of the phrase is beautiful in its time. beautiful in its time. So the Hebrew word for beautiful is actually not best translated beautiful. I've looked it up, and the best translation is the word appropriate. He has made everything appropriate. Now that changes the meaning. It doesn't necessarily mean beautiful anymore. It's not the same thing. Appropriate means it kind of has to happen. Everything that happens, happens just when it should happen, according to God's plan. Oops, I did that by mistake. Who made everything? Now I've lost my way. Go back. Okay, there it is. There it is. Okay, this doesn't necessarily help us to understand why things happen. It just helps us to understand that things happen and God knows that it's happening. And when we know that he knows, that kind of helps us deal with it a little. Why? Because there is an appropriate time for everything. I can't explain wars. I can't explain famines and droughts and COVID. I don't know why, but God knows why. And if he knows why, I'm okay. I can work it through. And then this very beautiful phrase. He has put eternity in their hearts. I love that phrase. And I've quoted it many times to others. Arthur Malcolm Stace was born in Redfern, New South Wales on 9 February 1885. His parents were alcoholics and he was brought up in poverty. In order to survive, he resorted to stealing bread and milk, and searching for scraps of food in bins. By the age of 12, he had become a ward of the state. As a teenager, he also had become an alcoholic and was subsequently sent to jail at age 15. In 1916, at age 32, he enlisted in the army for World War I with the Australian Imperial Force and sent overseas, probably in the Somme, I'm not sure exactly where. In 1930, Arthur Stace converted to Christianity after hearing an inspirational sermon by the Reverend Hammond at Barnabas Church at Broadway. Reverend Hammond's text for the sermon was from Isaiah 57:15. For thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit. to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. See the contrast between the two potentials here. The one who inhabits eternity, the high and lofty, lifted up one, will dwell with the one who is of a lowly spirit. The Bible says, and Jesus said, the meek shall inherit the earth. And this resonated with Arthur. He said to himself, that's me. I'm the lowly and contrite one, and this great God is going to meet with me. Later, Stace was further inspired by the preaching of evangelist John G. Ridley, whose sermon was entitled The Echoes of Eternity, also from Isaiah 57:15. Reverend John Ridley's words boomed from the pulpit, eternity, eternity. I wish that I could shout that word to everyone in the streets of Sydney. Where will you spend eternity? Stace later said, eternity went ringing through my brain and suddenly I began crying and felt a powerful call from the Lord to write the word eternity. Even though he was completely illiterate and could hardly write his own name, the word eternity came out smoothly in a beautiful copperplate script. I couldn't understand it, he said, and I still can't. Several mornings a week for the next 35 years, Stace woke at 4 a.m. to go around the streets of Sydney and chalk the word eternity on footpaths, on doorsteps, and on railway station entrances. And anywhere else he could think of, workers arriving in the city would see the word freshly written, but not the writer. The man who writes eternity, as they called him, became a legend in Sydney. The Sydney City Council brought him to the attention of the police because they had rules about people defacing pavements. So much so that he narrowly avoided arrest about 24 times. On a couple of occasions, he was actually caught, but he responded with, "But I had a permission from a higher source," and the police let him go. The mystery of Mr. Eternity was solved after 27 years when Reverend Leslie M. Thompson, who preached at the church where Stace worked as a caretaker, I believe he was a Baptist, saw him take a piece of chalk from his pocket and write the word on the footpath. Sprung. In 1963, Trevor Dallin, a photographer, cornered Stace and asked to take a few pictures of him writing his famous phrase. After four photos, Dallin ran out of film and asked Stace to stay put while he got more. But upon his return, Stace was gone. It is estimated that Stace wrote the word eternity over 500,000 times in 35 years. The word eternity so captured the zeitgeist of the people of Sydney that in the year 2000, the fireworks display at the end of the opening ceremonies at the Olympics in Sydney Harbour featured the word eternity in the same beautiful copperplate script used by Arthur Stace 500,000 times throughout the city of Sydney. That one simple word broadcast on the Sydney Harbour Bridge was seen by hundreds of millions of people all around the world on that one night. In every human soul, there is a God-given awareness that this is not all there is to it, that there's more. that there's something else, something more than this transient world. And with that awareness of eternity comes a hope that we can one day find a fulfillment not offered by the things that we do every single day here. Never satisfies. Ecclesiastes 13:11 affirms the idea that humans operate in a very different way to the animals. We are different. We have a sense of eternity in our lives. We look beyond what we see and hear each day. We possess an innate knowledge that there is something more to life than what we can see and experience in the here and now. Seasons come and go, but does anything in this life truly satisfy? A new home, new car, nice. Baby is born, lovely. Still not enough, is it? Still not enough. And what does Solomon say? All in Ecclesiastes 1 verse 2, all is vanity. All is meaningless. However, through all the ups and downs and the vicissitudes of life, we have a glimpse of stability. God has set eternity in our hearts, a longing for something more, something better. There's something deep inside you and me and every other person that says, there's got to be more to life than this. There's got to be more to ending up in some dark, cold hole in the ground, forgotten. I read this. For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Bad news, guys. All of us, every single one of us, is but a mist. We all appear for a little time, 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, then we're gone. But we know that there's more. We know there's more. In Ecclesiastes 3:11, and just the last phrase, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. Now, this phrase makes clear that we don't always have a way to understand exactly why God does what he does and when he does it. We trust that it's part of his plan for eternity, that every single thing that happens to each one of us day by day is in some way a little peg, a square peg in a square hole that will click into place as part of the plan for you to take that one step toward eternity. But we trust that it's part of that plan, but we cannot fathom it. We can't work it out. We don't know every step. We take our guess. It's our part just to trust him and to leave the rest to him. Someone has said that history is his story. It is his story, but you fit into it. You fit into history as part of his story, and step by step he is leading you one day at a time to the place where he wants you to be. He knows the beginning from the end, and our part is to try to keep up. Keep up. A beautiful passage in not moving. 1 Thessalonians. In fact, for a long time, this was my favourite Bible passage. Excuse me. Excuse me. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Simple, direct, powerful. This will happen. This will happen. And this is why we are all sitting here. Because we know this will happen. And we want to be a part of it. This world is not our home. There is something that is far, far better that awaits us. Our place and the place for every single one of us is in the kingdom of God for eternity. Forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen.